A mural is disappearing from the community. It's at the Labor's Hiring Hall on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington. That building is no longer used for that purpose. It was a youthful work, the mural, by then art student Carrie Sandhaus in 1988. Pictures scenes of labor history in Bloomington Normal. Sandhaus and labor historian Mike Matika join us. Matika and Sandhaus are also married to each other. Sandhaus says she has a particular interest in public art and had studied prominent muralists such as Diego Rivera. She says she was aware of the community expression murals can capture.
To me, I had already a real interest in public art and how that can express something of value, and in particular, histories that are lost in a community.
Before we go into the elements of this particular mural, let's talk about how long-lasting such public art is in the collective community consciousness, and when and why it may or may not age out. What are your thoughts on those sensibilities? And well, yes, I will be asking about the Uptown mural.
Okay. I think that we live in a digital age, and we go and take photographs now, not with film. We do them digitally. And so I think our sense of where images exist has shifted, you know, over the last decades of that, the whole emergence of the digital age. And so for me, what gave me a sense of satisfaction with this mural having lived its life is that the building in which it exists, and it's on the inside of a labor union hiring hall, which has outlived its life. The building is, you know, they've got a new labor hall. This particular hall, you know, is, what do you call it, structurally and so forth. It's in its final, you know, years or days, I guess, at this point. So we enlisted Ken Cashin, who is an extraordinary photographer, to photograph the mural, and then he pieced together the 20-foot width of it so that there is a complete image. So there's a digital image of this mural. So I feel that we've captured that, and the Laborers Union is interested in planning to have a reproduction of it made on a smaller scale to fit within their new hall. And there's some talk of some other possibilities of reproductions. So for me, it's lived its life in a place where it lived to a grand old age, I guess.
Super. More generally, though, how does the iconography that goes into establishing the composition of a mural change as society changes? How have murals in this community shifted? I mean, there have been murals of African Americans on downtown buildings where the Black History Project came in. Mm-hmm. Now there are several youth murals in mm-hmm. different areas of the community. There's, of course, the notable Uptown mural, which mm-hmm. has been a focus of some controversy. But what do those have in common? What is different about each of those?
I think that probably this mural has the most in common with what Joel Bergner has done with the youth murals, in that there's something expressed that's collective about a group in the community. And so this mural, being about local labor history, expressed different events and challenges and struggles and so forth of the unions and labor in the Bloomington Normal community. And I think that the other kinds of mural projects, so I've got a piece in the mural that is on Market Street in downtown Bloomington. And so I also participated in one of those kinds of murals that is there are discrete parts. It's more like a patchwork quilt, you know, so that you've got individual sections of the mural that are an expression of that individual artist, whereas another kind of mural that is more of a unified piece that's an expression of a group as a whole. So to me, that's one of those distinctions between those. I think that with regard to the Bloomington mural, they did a really nice job with the Downtown Bloomington Association of documenting the mural in like a calendar that came out. And so there are photographs, again, back to the digital expression of that, that shared that mural out in other ways. And so while that mural in particular is not in jeopardy, and the one in Uptown Normal is, if I had participated in the Uptown mural, to me, seeing that mural be photographed and have some replication somewhere, whether that's, you know, as a poster or as a larger scale piece, would be just as satisfying as keeping it out, you know, in, because our world changes, you know.
There's another mural in the post office in mm-hmm. Uptown Normal, mm-hmm. made at, by a student of Diego Rivera, uh-huh. and you referenced him earlier.
Yeah.
What does that have in common with yours? It was an image of community and the founding of the community, and yours is an image of labor and the seminal historical moments of labor in this community. Is there anything else to draw those two together in your mind?
I wonder if there's a bit of social realism. I mean, in terms of the kind of artistic approach, is that the kind of thing you're thinking about, mm-hmm. Charlie?
Well, actually, I was hoping you would have something to say.
Something
about
else to say about it. I guess. The mural in the post office is in itself a kind of historic artifact because there were so many murals done during that time period of the WPA, you know, murals that were done in a lot of different post offices and other, you know, public buildings. So I think that, you know, that's certainly a kind of community artifact that you wouldn't want to let go of. And so I think that, you know, it's, I'm glad that we still have the post office there with that mural. And if ever that post office needed to come down, I would hope they would document that in an appropriate way that it could be preserved. You know,
this is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker with Carrie Sandhaus, the artist of a mural about Bloomington Normal labor history. It is having its last public showing from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Labor's Local 362 Old Hall on Fox Creek Road. There are several moments that we should talk about. With us also is Mike Matika, Carrie's husband, who is a bit of a labor historian himself. The one of the scenes in the mural is the Chicago and Alton Railroad shops. Why is that a key moment for this community in labor history?
When you look at economic development of Bloomington Normal, the location of the Chicago and Alton Railroad shops here in 1854 is like Rivian today. It is the high-tech industry of the day. It's also the birthplace of labor unions. Railroad work was very dangerous, very hazardous. And beginning in the 1860s, railroad workers were already organizing themselves. So as, number one, a group that early on built unions, early on came together and became a community force, and a very significant event in 1922 is in the mural when 400,000 railroad shop workers across the country went on strike after their wages and overtime had been cut. A federal court injunction came down that basically outlawed that strike. And Bloomington is written up in national newspapers at the time period as one of the epicenters of that activity. So that workplace is, until the day of State Farm, is the primary workplace of Bloomington Normal, and it is a labor union intensive workplace.
How about the bike candy strike, or the, it's now Ferraro candy, and that shop has receded in the community's collective consciousness somewhat over the years. It was a big deal back in the early 90s when it was still going strong. It's somewhat smaller now as a workforce. Lift that up to today's listeners who may not even know about Bike or Ferraro.
Yeah, and again, Ferraro, formerly Nestle, formerly Bike, you know, still makes candy on the southwest side of town. Their old plant, which was right by the railroad tracks on Front Street, was a very important industrial workplace. About 300 to 400 people work there, but mostly women. And I remember interviewing Dora Giese, who packed and wrapped 24 candy bars in a box when she started in 1934 and got a penny a box. So when those workers organized in 1937-38, they were very much worried about their condition, and it was a women's-led movement, and they were pretty militant. And Carrie can share, as this was being painted, again, this work of art as a collective community expression, people were bringing in photographs of their grandmothers and their mothers saying, she was there. Can you put her in this mural?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that was one of the particularly satisfying aspects of working on this mural. Mike had done a lot of kind of history research in the late 70s on local labor history here in Bloomington Normal, and this mural came, I guess, is actually builds on that foundation of research that he did. But once those stories started to be gathered, then we identified where those people were, and people did bring out their photographs. So different faces in the mural are based on those photographs of individuals, as well as I had to get the styles of the day. So it was looking at Sears catalog and of the time period, like from the by candy company workers, you know, when what kinds of clothing did they have, because they may have had, you know, close-up shots of the faces, but not necessarily, you know, fully clothed.
That's also what a mural does. It's a piece of contemporary art when it goes up for most murals. Does its meaning and accessibility change as styles of the day change?
That's a good point.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, there was a lot of pride in this, pride in particularly Carrie's artwork. But here's a place where every morning there were 70 to 90 laborers waiting for work. There were numerous political meetings. There were multiple unions that met there. Never once did anybody graffiti. Never once did anybody try to do anything to this, even though dozens of people were in and out. And I think that shows that sense that this was ours. This belonged to the group. And so there was a lot of respect showing toward this piece of artwork. And again, people often, what's that? What's this scene? What does that mean? And oftentimes bring groups in tours.
Was that still happening even until the hiring hall was made obsolete?
Well, even afterwards, like the Multicultural Leadership Program would meet there at least once a year and get a little bit of an introduction to that. And people would say, oh, I had no idea that was part of our history, you know, as mm-hmm. we describe the different scenes there.
The mural also includes an image of Mother Jones, who came to Bloomington to support the streetcar conductors' strike, and an image of the 1978 Normal firefighter strike, the longest firefighter strike ever in the nation, and one in which the entire union was ordered to jail. The next day after Mother Jones arrived, though, the governor of that time called out the National Guard and camped more than 1,000 troops on the courthouse square. Artist Carrie Sandhaus and labor historian Mike Matika joined us for that conversation about murals and the labor history mural she painted in 1988. The mural will be available for its last showing 2 to 4 p.m. Sunday at Labor's Local 362 in the Old Hall on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington.